This is New England Public Media. Live theater is permitted indoors again, though fight scenes are discouraged. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts, as we do most Mondays. We've got Matt Murphy from the Statehouse News Service on the line. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Carrie.
Today marks another small move towards reopening in Massachusetts. Of course, we've seen COVID case numbers and deaths in the state continue to fall as the number of vaccinated Bay Staters rises. Prolonged contact is discouraged. That's no fight scenes. Social distancing is a must, as the curtain can now raise on indoor staged performances. So what other industries are included in the latest reopening phase?
Yeah, today marks the first step in a series of steps that the governor has laid out towards that August 1st full reopening. And you mentioned with COVID cases continuing to go down today, we'll see large arenas, ballparks, stadiums, places like Fenway Park have their capacity, a permitted capacity increase from 12% to 25%. Some youth sports are coming back. We're seeing outdoor road races permitted again with staggered start times and other public safety plans put in place and submitted to local departments of public health. Also singing back in restaurants, indoor singing in restaurants, amusement parks and other outdoor entertainment venues like this also reopening at 50% capacity. Now, here in Boston, we're going to have to wait a little longer for some of these. The city is on a June 1st schedule for these reopening steps, but across most of the state, another step forward.
During and because of the coronavirus pandemic, unemployment claims in Massachusetts drained the funds of the unemployment system. So earlier this spring, Governor Baker authorized $7 billion in borrowing to steady the fund and created a commission to chart a path forward. As this commission meets for the very first time this week, what are members likely to hear?
Yeah, this commission was created in that law that lawmakers had hoped would solve the problem of rising bills for unemployment insurance on employers. But that bill, as it turned out, only solved about half the problem. There's another fee that is scheduled to spike on employers. The administration has delayed these payments as they wait to see whether or not they can use federal stimulus dollars to shore up the solvency fund for the unemployment system. And this commission was created by that law to look at the long-term solvency of this fund. But more immediately, they're going to be looking at the short-term solvency and look at how much money is needed in this fund as they wait for an answer from the feds on whether or not they can use American Rescue Act funding to avoid another big spike in employers' contributions.
We learned late on Friday that the newly hired boss at the Holyoke Soldiers Home is not going to take the job, so that search process has to start all over again. This, of course, comes as the future of the bill to pay for a new soldiers home is still in limbo, with some $260 million in federal government funding on the line. The House and Senate passed different versions, and a conference committee has to iron out the differences. What do they still need to work out?
Yeah, this conference committee appointed last week, I think, you know, people will be watching to see if they can strike a deal rather quickly, because they also face an August 1 deadline to get the design phase of the new Holyoke Soldiers Home in place, to get that project designed so that they can submit it to the feds to qualify for this federal funding. The major difference, not in the construction of the Holyoke Soldiers Home itself, but additional funds that the Senate put in to look at veterans care and the need for other satellite facilities or other services and facilities that may be needed in other parts of the state that don't have easy access to Holyoke or the Chelsea Soldiers Home. They're also looking at whether or not to include a project labor agreement in this bill for the construction of the home, and what a project labor agreement would look like in an effort to both use union labor, but also encourage diversity of firms, minority-owned firms, women-owned firms, to allow them to compete for contracts on this very big $400 million project.
Finally, Matt, this week the Senate will release its version of the budget for the fiscal year that begins in July. In the last 30 seconds, any big differences expected between this budget and the one already passed by the House?
I mean, two things we'll be watching for. One, given the size of the revenues that the state collected in April, what does the bottom line look like on the Senate plan? Do they feel more comfortable spending more money than the House and the governor? And it'll be also interesting to see how the Senate handles the controversial film tax credit. This is something the new House Speaker Ron Mariano has protected throughout his career on Beacon Hill. But Senate Ways and Means Chairman Mike Rodrick, not a big fan of the film tax credit, and the Senate has voted to limit it in the past.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Matt, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from New England Public Media at our website. That's nepm.org/podcast hub. This is New England Public Media.